Good evening. My name is Regina Bemke, and I will be your MC for tonight. I am a parishioner of the Church of the Resurrection. The CEO team and I would like to welcome you to tonight's program. CEO Rochester is Christ-centered, Spirit-led, lay-driven. We have real people sharing real stories about their faith and how God has changed their lives. To be respectful to Scott and the rest of us, please silence or turn off your cell phones. I don't think Scott got his call on his cell phone, so you probably won't either. Our speaker tonight is Scott Schwalbe. Scott was born a Catholic, but did not embrace Catholicism until later in life. He has gone from a non-caring man to a man committed to Jesus and his church. Scott has served on the parish council, finance council, as a Knight of Columbus, and has served as a trustee for the parish. He is also a lector and a Eucharistic minister. Scott has a wonderful story tonight of his gradual conversion to the diaconate and how God is patient and merciful, reaching out to us even when we are not responding. Please help me in welcoming Scott.
Thank you, Regina. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we gather here tonight as the body of Christ, we want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given us and praise you. We ask that the Holy Spirit be with us this evening. Enter our hearts and bring us closer to Jesus and closer to the Trinitarian love. And through the intercession of Mary, let us pray for peace in the world, in our families, in our hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, Regina, thanks for that introduction, and thank everybody for coming out in this cold evening. I know that it's a Friday night. I'm sure you guys have a lot better things to do, but I really appreciate you coming out and being here and listening and going out in the weather. So the CEO team, when they came and asked me to give this talk, you know, I asked myself, well, why would someone ask me to give a witness story? I've heard that everybody has a story, but yeah, I didn't really think I had one, and if I did, it'd be pretty boring. Because I've gradually become a man of God over a long, gradual process, and I live what I perceive as a very normal life. So I told the CEO team, yeah, I'll think about it. And then I prayed. And that's when I said, yeah, there might be a story, because there's a point in my life where I never prayed. That prayer that I just said to you, we just prayed, there's no way that I would have prayed in front of a group, and there's no way I probably wouldn't have prayed to myself at one point in my life. So this action triggered me to say, you know, to say yes. And that was last year, August, September timeframe. And this talk was originally scheduled for January. And so October timeframe, I said, you know, I should start thinking about this and start preparing. And it just so happened that the second week of October of last year, 2018, I had a two-week business trip planned. And as I was getting ready for that business trip, I basically said, well, you know, I'll find time during that trip. And on October 13th, I found myself in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, at the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. And I said, this wasn't pre-planned. I didn't plan to go there to spend time preparing for this talk at that time. You know, I was making my arrangement. I was busy. I was in Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, couple day layover, off to Spain, back to New York, a lot of work, really working through that. Then I finished my last meeting in Connecticut about 1 p.m. on Friday, and I said, well, you know, I need a place to stay. So I figured it's because I wanted to work on this, work this talk. And so I was thinking, well, I could go to the submarine base in New Groton. I could, you know, go back to New York City. I could go to the airport. And all of a sudden, I get this little nudge. You know, the Divine Mercy Shrine's pretty close by. So I opened it up, opened my phone up, and looked, and sure enough, it was just 3 hours away. So I got in my car, and I started driving. And I arrived late on a Friday afternoon. I walked in the shrine, prayed, and I was at peace, joyful. And then it hit me. How in the heck did I get here? Not the chapel on this day, but how did I get to the point of my life? Because not long ago, I would have just stayed in New York and found something else to do on the weekend. I did not really understand about the Holy Spirit. And now I get a quiet nudge. I obey it. And here I am now surrounded by 300 acres of Jesus and full of joy. When and did this conversion happen? How did I go from a person that didn't know God, didn't really even care if I knew him, to wanting to be with him as much as I can? So preparing for this talk tonight has just really given me a better sense of this, and I want to share with you how I got to that shrine in Massachusetts in October. Not physically, but spiritually. But more importantly, how's it changed my life, and how is God working in my life right now? So just a little background on myself. I'm 57 years old, married to my wife for about 36, almost 37 years. And yes, we were married very young. You know, I really didn't think about it back then, but God had a plan for me. He knew that I needed a lot of help, so he put Mary into my life very early. We have two beautiful children, and we're looking forward to being grandparents in about 2 months. So I grew up in Minnesota. I joined the Army Reserves, and then I went active duty in the Navy and left Minnesota. It was much warmer elsewhere, just to let you guys know. That was in 1981, and I came back in the late 90s. I retired from the Navy in 2001, and I went right into corporate world. This is really how I would have described myself up until recently. Defined myself by my work, by my family. And I really didn't consider being Catholic as important. It really never really came up in my day-to-day activities. I did not really, you know, I never denounced God. I never said he didn't exist. But if you observed my life and how I lived, I'm not sure anyone would have accused me of being Christian. Mentioned I spent 20 years in the Navy. I was traveling a lot, and it was not on my priority list to find a church on Sunday. You know, I'm not going to go into any detail about my past, but let's just say I wasn't living the life that we are called to live as a Christian. You know, and at the time, I did not care I was sinning. I was prideful and egotistical. I recently read a book, a good definition of ego. Ego stands for edging God out. There's no room for God when one has a large ego. Just to kind of let you in a little bit on my attitude at the time, yeah, I knew there was a God because I thought I was God's gift to the world. This attitude was who I was and who I was content being. I was content being impatient, prideful, sometimes without joy, grumpy. Just a little side story. When my kids were younger, probably 20 years ago, we went to Disney World. And after 3 days at Disney World, I'm sure with a little prodding of my wife, Mary, the kids decided to give me a souvenir. They gave me a hat with one of the pictures of the seven dwarfs. Can anybody guess which one? Yes, it was Grumpy. But the worst part about the whole thing, as I look back on it, is I actually wore the hat and really didn't have any remorse. I was fine being grumpy. And I was going to Mass on Sundays. I really didn't know Jesus, didn't seek a relationship with Jesus. I didn't pray and was really not engaged in any church activities. So what happened? I'm here today talking to you as a changed man. a man of God for one reason. God did not abandon me, even when I abandoned him. So now that I read the Bible, I can see that I was just like the Israelites, walking in the wilderness with a hardened heart. In Psalm 95, God speaks about these people, of which I was one of them. 40 years I endured that generation, I said. They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. That was me. So during my visit to the shrine, God really helped me understand just how far I have come with the grace, with the help of his grace. So on the grounds, there's a shrine of the Holy Innocents, and there's big, large, 13-foot tall angels guarding the entrance of the shrine of these, where these children are remembered. As I walked in, calming music started. Water was coming down the wall. I knelt down in front of a life-size statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe, prayed, and then I sat in silence. The Lord reminded me that Mary and I have 4 babies that are being held by angels waiting to meet us. Mary had 3 miscarriages, which one of them was a set of twins. Now, God revealed this to me not to see me weep, but be a witness to you and me that hardened hearts can be transformed. As I sat there, I realized how far away I was from God at that point in my life. I could not recall praying for these babies. I hate to say this, but I'm not really even sure I recognize them as humans. My heart was hard. I just kept focused on work, paying the bills. I was not there for Mary. Thank God that Jesus was there for her. I had no reason to change. I was successful in the eyes of the world. I was creating my own destiny. I now can see things God did in my past to get my attention. He was approaching me, and I was too busy focusing on myself. As I mentioned, God put Mary into my life. I didn't thank God then. I know that there was prayers being said for me. I have 2 aunts that are school sisters of Notre Dame. My grandparents, I know they were all praying for me. I realize now how important these prayers were and are. I'm going to come back a little bit later, talk a little bit more about prayer. Now, as I look back and try to pinpoint the start of my conversion, it was really the kids. As they grew up, I started to open up, slow down, listen, be open for that nudge a little bit more. The grace of God started to slowly creep in. Now, I look back, and one of the biggest regrets I do have right now is not being the father God wanted me to be when the kids were young. I did not lead the family in prayer. I did not make sure the kids were falling in love with Jesus. I let Mary do that. Luckily, she picked up where I failed. So I started to go to church every Sunday, started to meet people that believed in Jesus. People like you here tonight. I now realize that God used the body of Christ, people actually of the Church of Resurrection, to convert me. We joined the church in 2001, so that was just 18 years ago. I would sit in the pews, see people praying, participating in Mass, would see parishioners working and serving the Lord. I was open, but I was not involved at that time. Now, this next point is very important as we think about how we evangelize. I was invited to participate. It was Dennis Kunkel asked me to listen to a talk and consider being a chaperone for the Steubenville Conference as it was coming into Rochester. Then Father Loomis asked if I would consider being part of the parish council, then stewardship council. Then I said yes to the Knights of Columbus. As I said earlier, God never ever abandoned me, and all he needed was for me to say yes in a small way, and the floodgates started to open. As I reflect on this time, I was doing and not yet being. I'll elaborate more on this as we go through this, but it's important to realize that we are all different, We all have our story, and God knows how to invite us in. God did not and does not love me any less because I did not fully understand or did not have love in my heart. He's a patient God. So as I said, I jumped in. There's a few things that I really like to highlight that were really impactful and have and still are influencing my growth. I did mention being part of the Steubenville conferences. Over the last 12 years, this has had a significant impact on me. It's really hard to be in a room with over 1,000 teens praising the Lord and not be impacted. Every year, Rochester is blessed to host one of these events. The Partnership for Youth, just a little commercial, the Partnership for Youth is always looking for volunteers, and I guarantee you'll get more out of it than the kids. I know I have. So I've always been blessed with the ability to work and the desire to serve. And so I dove into parish council and into stewardship, and this is really where I started getting some depth and understanding of the Catholic Church. The U.S. bishops wrote a pastoral guide to stewardship, which really changed my outlook and view of life. The bishops state, "Everything we have comes from God, and is our duty to take these gifts and talents, increase them, and give them back to the community of Christ." I'm sure you all have this on your heart, but I did not at the time. This is when I really came to the realization that God is God and I am not. So this was about 15 years ago. God has a plan for us, and if I truly believed it, then I needed to change how I think and how I act. At that point, I still didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is still in my head and not in my heart. And about that time, I heard a speaker, and he was talking about the journey from the head to the heart. And he said, especially for men, sometimes that 18 inches is about the hardest journey we're ever going to make. And I can tell you, it took a long time for me, and it's been gradual. Now, I was becoming active in the church, was doing church stuff, because I wasn't being again. I'm still not doing it out of the love for the Lord. At some point, I realized that wasn't the right thing to be doing. I was reminded of this on Sunday, the second reading from Corinthians. It says that if we do not have love, all our doing is worthless. That sunk in about 15 years to me, and it was time for me to mature in my understanding of the Lord. So this is when I started a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, nothing extraordinary happened to me. You know, I think listening to people, I was expecting something different. Perhaps this is where God will talk to me. Maybe I'll get a revelation or epiphany. That didn't happen. But I did gradually start to have the desire to be with Jesus more and more. Jesus gave me the gift of faith. I responded with a yes and started the trip of moving from my mind to my heart. As I mentioned, God's put people in my life, you know, and I know this, and through these witnesses of people, it's brought me closer all the time to the Lord, even back 15 years ago, and it still happens to me today. Just a couple examples. So I currently run a small business out of Minneapolis, and I travel a lot and have the opportunity to engage with lots of different people from different walks of life. So a few years ago, I was at a conference, and the conversation came up, and I started talking to this man. I knew him a little bit, and we started talking about belief a little bit. And you know, he says, you know, I'm not really sure. You know, he goes, I think there's some sort of energy out there or something like that. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And then he goes on to tell me, yeah, about 5 years ago, I was in this car accident. I died. And then I saw this light. And then I came back to life. And you know, I'm here. I'm like, whoa. That really kind of, yeah, that just proves that God is there, the presence of God, and it just really, you know, it came into me and said, I believe. He's still, I talked to him, he still isn't a believer. He's still, you know, but his witness and his story really made my faith stronger. And, you know, another, you know, this was just recently, just, you know, last 6 months I was traveling and with a different person, and we were talking, and he knows that, you know, that I'm going through the diaconate, and he was like, you know, he goes, I'm not really sure what to think, and he says, but, you know, it's interesting. He said, a number of years ago, I was just in a dire straits. My business wasn't going well. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I owned a bunch of, I just thought of all the different ways that I could solve this, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do that. And he said, I was kind of really at my end and really ready to maybe file bankruptcy. And he tells me the story. He was in a convenience store or something, and he did this little act of kindness to somebody. And because, you know, he would just did it. And he said it was interesting. He felt this, he said, inner feeling where he felt good. And he walked outside, and about 30 minutes later, he got this epiphany of, boom, this is what you need to do. And he said it basically solved all the, he'd been trying months trying to figure out what to do, and he just got it. And he went and solved his problems, and he went out and did better than he ever anticipated. And today, he's still not quite sure. But again, these stories, these witnesses brought to me, and that's how that the Lord is coming to me through these witnesses. These random stories build up my faith. They show me God's presence. They show me that God is present. Now, all of us are on the same journey to spend eternal happiness with God in heaven. We all have our unique paths. You know, some are tougher than others. But I know that God loves us, and he wants to be our Lord. So I kept involved and took another step to enrolling in the Diocese Together in Faith program in 2010. So I felt that desire to grow. So that, you know, this was just 9 years ago. And really, that was the first time I decided to actually take a course. I'd never done any Bible studies or anything like that. Now, being with these holy people these 2 years and observing and continuing to say yes was how God was pulling me in. As we were finishing the course, the diocese decided to start up a new diaconate program. I knew very little about what a deacon was, other than he read the gospel and helped around the parish. You know, I thought, I like the church. I can help around the parish. I'd like to get more involved. So I applied. Now, during the interview process, I was asked, "What is a deacon? What are your thoughts?" And how would you describe who a deacon was? You know, in my mind, I said, well, that's easy. Yeah. Deacon serves at Mass, can do homilies, baptisms, funerals, marriages. The interviewer, you know, he just smiled. He says, yep, those are visible things that a deacon does. But can you tell me who a deacon is? Well, I didn't do very well at answering that question because I was still, at that point in my life, still very focused on doing and not being. The Lord still let me in the program because he knows where I need growth and where I needed help. A significant part of the formation process is dedicated to the formation of the heart, prayer, falling in love with the Lord, so that I will become a deacon and not just act in the role of a deacon. This idea of being is what God calls us all to. Being a Christian requires humility, a contrite heart, and opening up to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. We need to be open. And for some of us, as you can tell, it takes years. So another impactful event in my life is about 3 years ago, Mary and I attended a Life in the Spirit seminar. I had never heard of the charismatic renewal, did not understand what the idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit was. I will tell you that these 7 weeks, in particular, the night when I was prayed over for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was a dramatic turning point in my life with Jesus. This really was the first time in my life that I felt the presence of the Lord and knew without a doubt that not only was God real, but he was alive and present within me. I'm here to tell you that God has so much more to give us, more than we can actually comprehend. When I attended that seminar, I was 3 years into my diaconate formation. I was an active member of the Knights of Columbus, trustee, part of the Steubenville core team, actively involved in the church. Anybody looking at my life would say that I was an engaged Catholic. I'm telling you, this personal Pentecost, which we are all invited to, has been a special grace to bring me closer to Jesus, increase my desire to be in prayer and with the Lord. So this renewal of the dormant gifts that God gave me at baptism and confirmation has proven to have one of the biggest impacts on my desire to know and serve the Lord in a new way. Again, as you're hearing, God never abandoned me. My conversion's been gradual. He's been patient. And it's just getting started. So, how am I now letting go and letting God and living in the world at the same time? You know, I mentioned I run a small company. I typically work 60 hours a week, and I'm away from home 3 to 4 days a week. God's given me gifts. He's given me supernatural gifts as promised in the Bible. God promises that he will never give us more than we can handle. God promised, St. Faustina in her diary tells us, Jesus is looking for people with open hearts so he can fill them with his divine mercy and pour out graces. There is no way that I could do what I do without God. People ask me, you know, how do you have the time and energy to be involved in things? And I have some people tell me that I should pay attention, maybe not make sure I don't burn myself out. But I'm here to witness to you that it's Jesus working through me. So I give thanks and praise to the Lord. I'm not anything. All I'm trying to do is get out of the way and each day trying to die to myself and let the Lord take over. We must decrease so he can increase. We're all created with unique gifts and talents that God wants to use and build up the body of Christ. Jesus needs us to help him in this mission. So God willing, I'll be ordained a deacon. And as I thought about this, going from someone who did not care about the Lord to becoming a deacon is proof that God loves me, did not abandon me ever. I just had to say yes. It's freeing to know that God is God and I am not. Now, I have a long way to go to grow in holiness and a lot to learn, and I'm continually working on dying to myself and my plans. The trip to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy is a great example of the Lord helping me understand how much he has helped me and that he has never abandoned me, loves me, and that I have more growth ahead of me. As I said, I went to the chapel on Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, and I needed a place to stay. They have a retreat house there, but it wasn't available on Friday, so I scheduled it for Saturday night. And so I went into town and got a hotel in a small little town and got some work done and figured, well, I'll work on thinking about this conversion story on Saturday and Sunday. And so Saturday morning, I woke up and I had a plan. So for those of you that that know me, that's probably no surprise. I plan things way more than I should. I had a bad head cold, so I went to the pharmacy and went in and bought some stuff. And I came out. When I came to my car, the truck next to me, both the doors were wide open, and there was a woman standing in between them, and so I couldn't get to my car. So I waited patiently, and again, that doesn't come naturally for me. And as she was closing the doors, she saw me, and she said, oh, you know, sorry, and it was, she, it was, and she said, my grandson in the back seat, his grandpa just rolled up his fingers into the window and we're going in and getting him some pills. And he was sitting in the back seat and I said, sorry to hear that. And jumped in my car, started driving away. And then I get this nudge. Jesus loves that toddler and that grandmother. You should pray for them. So I started to pray for them. And then, not for them, with them. So I turned my car around, got out of the car, and asked the woman, would you be okay if I prayed with you and your toddler and prayed a little bit? And she said, yeah, it's fine. And obviously she was used to prayer. And so I did that. And just a simple prayer, and I drove off. Now, a couple of points. I'm not that bold enough to do that on my own. I'm just not in the practice yet of being able to do that. I do not stop in public and pray for people. So that was definitely the Holy Spirit. Second, just to let you know how much growth I still need, this was just in October, I jumped in my car and went right into Scott mode. That messed up my timeline. That messed up my plan. I didn't automatically just go right into thanking the Lord for giving this opportunity and praising the Lord. But this is really an example of God working through me and me still not getting it because I'm still a work of progress. But thank God he's patient and willing to work with slow learners. I get 2 miles down the road. You can't make this stuff up. And an older man is hitchhiking. So I picked him up. Now, this is actually something I do. His name happened to be Dragonfly. And he was a local and said he lived right down the road. So after I went past where I was going, went through the town that was next to it, and about 15 miles out of my way, right down the road, I dropped him off. At that point, I did thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for helping me once again to not get so worried about my plan, but pay attention to his plan. I thanked him for unhardening my heart and not giving up on me. I believe in the divine mercy of the Lord, and if we're open to receive it, God will use you and me to share that mercy with others, convert others, as he's used others to convert me. Remember, as Christians, everybody's watching. It's really pretty easy, though. All we need to do is follow Jesus because he loves us and will never abandon us. So the journey to Stockbridge, Massachusetts was not as spontaneous as I would like to think. It was not my idea. God had a plan for that weekend. He knew I needed to prepare this message for myself and for you. And he knew Dragonfly needed a ride home. But it's an interesting point to ponder and think about. God so loves all of us and knows what our needs are. My trip to the shrine could have been just for that reason. And because I was obedient, God showered me 100-fold. God knew that if I stayed in New York, I would focus on the world and not on him. So I had to drive 3 hours to a remote place in the Berkshire Mountains to listen to God that weekend. So what am I doing about this now? I'm trying to hear God where I'm at. I'm working, as I said earlier, to die to myself and not be so much of the world. My prayer is that I could be humble and change ego from edging God out to exalting God only and become holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. As I mentioned earlier, prayer. Others prayed and are praying for me, which I know has been the key reason God kept nudging me. He loves me, never abandoned me. But at some point, if I would have kept blocking him out and the prayers would have dried up, God would have been the gentleman and respected my free will, and his voice would become softer to the point that I could live without him. So our prayers for each other are critical in today's world. God listens and hears our prayers. I mentioned earlier that I do pick up hitchhikers. This road ministry that I have is not something that I would ever do on my own. Because again, it totally disrupts my plan every time I pick up a hitchhiker. It caused me to rearrange my junk in my front seat and all of that. But I can tell you that God has answered many people's prayers by putting me in the right place at the right time. There are days when I take a route that maybe not be typical, and lo and behold, there's somebody that needs a ride. Very often, the first words out of the person's mouth is, "I've been standing there for hours and praying for a ride." So where do I go from here? All of us are called to holiness. We are not going to be able to be face to face with God unless we are saints. So I've gone from not caring if there is a God to standing here before you tonight telling you that my goal is to become holy and become a saint. I would like to invite you to join me, and I ask for your help. Pope Francis recently said, "To be saints is not a privilege for the few, but a vocation for everyone." Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." God will give us the grace and has provided us with the church, the body of Christ, all of us here, and the tools to be holy. Being holy exalts God and is a witness that God is real and he is alive with us. So some of you might be thinking, well, that's a pretty radical thing to say and try to attempt in today's world. Well, here's my thinking and how I finally decided that it's time to make this commitment of holiness. If God is who he says he is, and we can only be with him in eternity if we are holy and saints, then I say that not becoming a saint is radical. It's kind of like standing on a railroad track with a freight train bearing down on me and not getting off the tracks. Most of you would call me crazy. I finally came to the conclusion that not striving to becoming a saint is crazy. So I said I need help. There's outward signs of holiness. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are joy, peace, patience, kindness, love, goodness, faith, modesty, self-control, chastity, generosity, and gentleness. I tonight give you permission to remind me, point it out to me, when I'm not living the way I should be living. If I'm acting impatiently, I want it brought to my attention. Together as the body of Christ, the only way we can become holy is together as a community and as a body of Christ. And I want to be held accountable. Now, God's answering my prayers and is holding me accountable. Last Friday, I was at the cathedral for Holy Hour. And as I was preparing for confession, this came to me. "Do you love me?" And I'm like, whoa. And if you recall, Jesus asked the same question to Peter 3 times because Peter denied him 3 times. So I'm expecting that question a lot. But as I really thought about this, how many times in the last 30 days did I walk past someone who might have been asking God for help and the Holy Spirit nudged me and I did not hear, or worse yet, I ignored the nudge? How many times did I have the opportunity to witness and speak up for the Lord, and I did not? How many times did I abandon the Lord? So the Lord's holding me accountable, and I know he'll never abandon me. I know he loves me. So preparing for this talk, it's really been helpful for me to understand how much I've grown in my faith. And it's also helped me know that I need to keep moving. Keep moving forward towards the Lord. If I'm standing still, I'm not getting closer to the Lord. We've been given everything to help us on the journey. So I'm trying to use these tools, these gifts, to stay the course. Receiving the Eucharist as often as possible. Going to confession. holy hour, prayer, reading, and not just reading, but praying the word of the Lord. The liturgy of the hours, silence. Local events, seminars like Life in the Spirit. Being with people of God like this evening. Serving the Lord. God does not abandon us. God loves each of us, and he's stepping toward us. As depicted in the picture of divine mercy, if you ever look close to that picture, Jesus is walking towards us, one foot in front of the other. God is never going to force himself on us, but is making the first move. All we need to do is step out in faith and take one step at a time. This morning, the morning reading in the Liturgy of Hours was from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, and it hit me as a summary of how I hope to live my life from now on. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live is not my own. Christ is living in me. I still live my human life, but it is a life of faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Give thanks to God and praise always. God bless you all, and really thank you for allowing me to share with you here tonight. So now we're going to go into a song, and songs mean things. And it's because of God's amazing grace that my conversion happened. So if we could sit and reflect on that song, and then I think Regina is going to come up. Thank you.